You're the lightning rod for sexism in Australia. Do you realise that?
Yeah.
Do you actually realise that? You are the lightning rod for misogynists to rally around and to try and silence women. You represent progress. You represent women's rights. You represent a future where girls and women think, I can show up as I feel and as I want to, and that's okay.
Oh, that's
and
lovely.
They will do everything to make sure you are quiet and you are ashamed of yourself.
A listener production.
This podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past, present. We extend our respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today. Wow, I've had a lot of requests for this episode. I'm so thrilled to bring you all a conversation with Hannah Ferguson. Woo! Creator, Woo! Do we say head of the independent? Do we say CEO? What do we say?
CEO is like so LinkedIn. Let's go head of.
Head of Cheek Media, which we love Cheek Media, which is, I would call it a left-wing media company. Great, thank God.
I hate when people say, like, you're objective. No, I'm not.
No.
Frankly, I'm not trying to be. Don't ever say that again. It's offensive.
Yeah, it is
actually.
I'm bipartisan. Great group. Author of the book, Bite Back, Feminism, Media, Politics, and Our Power to Change It All.
Dramatic music.
Love that.
Let that sit in the air.
Yeah, to change it all, hopeful. And also co-host on the podcast, Big Small Talk.
Correct. Thank you.
Oh my God, the three things. It's very exciting. And there's so much more to you as well. Also, current lover girl.
Oh, we're in our lover era.
Okay, fuck politics. Let's talk about men. Fuck the Bechdel test.
I was about to say, my life is like sort of passing the Bechdel test, but ever since I got a boyfriend, everyone's like, actually, we don't care that you're in charge of a company. Let's get to it. How's the sex?
Well, honestly, no, literally though, how is it? Okay.
Really good.
So we were just talking off mic and now I'm bringing it on mic and feel free to not say anything if you don't want to, but also when you're dating a secure man, guys, just so you know, they don't actually care what you say.
It's publicly. Wild.
It's crazy.
And okay, so right before the podcast started, I was like, do you find it more terrifying dating a secure man? Because I do.
Yes. Okay. I'm freaking out. Listen, I was listening to Sometimes, like Britney Spears on the way in here. Sometimes I read. Sometimes, and I have never related to that song until now. I'm going, I'm avoidant. Just like Britney.
I get it, girl.
But all I really want is to hold you tight, treat you right, and be with you day and night.
I get that. And I think the reason is because when I date men that treat me like shit, I get to project that it's like their problem.
Their issue! Yes, I'm the issue!
Yep. Yeah, but you're right. Now, I'm finding myself like about to send a text or like double thinking something or like taking too long to reply. And I'm like, all of the internalized issues I have from probably my dad, let's say it.
Yeah, do you have a dad?
Yeah,
you got one?
Yes, yeah, you know.
A good one? Obviously not.
No, he's, you know, he's trying. They all are.
Oh, mine isn't.
Allegedly.
So. Too late.
Allegedly.
Allegedly trying.
It's always an allegedly.
Allegedly. But also mine isn't, so thanks for reminding me of that.
No, so sorry. Let's get back to the point,
fine.
Which is like how that manifests.
Yeah, it manifests in everything is bad. I had therapy yesterday and I was talking to my therapist and I was like, I'm just panicking because things are going really well and he's really communicative. And I feel like when he tells me nice things, I won't expose his text, but he says some pretty lovely things to me that I've never had him say. I go, I just worry. And she goes, what? And I go, I'm just worried. Oh. She's like, about, do you think he's love bombing you? I go, no, no, no. She goes, so what are we worried about? And I go, just a deep sense of doom, Chuck. Just
holy
a deep sense
fuck,
of doom.
This is so me. So I had this exact thing where literally 2 or 3 weeks into the relationship, I said to him, could you pull back the physical appearance-based compliments?
Wow. Okay, this is actually interesting because I hate physical appearance-based compliments. What was your theory?
Well, I sort of just knew I was uncomfortable and really struggling to regulate with because he was so earnest and honest. And it's not that I didn't believe him, but I went to my therapist last week to talk about this and I said, I'm so uncomfortable. And so this is what I communicated. And she said, what compliments do you like? And I said, oh, anything to do with work. And then I went, oh, I just heard myself say that.
No,
she said, you're trying to control how he shows up, because when you open yourself up to genuine, safe, secure love, mm-hmm. you're at risk of it being taken away. And therefore you can't accept compliments because it reflects on how you feel about yourself deeply and you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I shat myself with fear in that moment. And I'm processing.
It's awful. It's actually really horrendous someone being nice to you, just so you're all aware, like I'm going through it. It's like, it sucks that like, I'm dating someone really securely attached that really likes me, that I've had a crush on for a couple of years, and it just sucks that I have all these amazing friends and this amazing life.
Like, it's really so hard being us.
Someone's gonna take it away.
But that's the thing, it's this impending sense of doom that if you open yourself up and feel vulnerable and actually be in love, that like joy is scarier to feel.
100%, because I'm actually feeling my emotions now. He's made me feel my emotions, and that's why I'm crying every day, and I'm feeling things on a really big level in every way. And that's not really fun. I miss being numb.
And blaming someone else because they're treating you like poorly and you're allowing it to happen. And so therefore you're just in this toxic doom cycle, but now you're in something healthy that you have to maintain.
Well, I said to my therapist, because there was one thing that was kind of like I didn't want to say a red flag. It was a point of obviously being, you know, knowing someone for 2 years, there's going to be things that as his friend, I've been like, that's not great, right? Yeah. And they were, and not like he's a bad person. He's actually the nicest person on the planet. Anyway, so can't lose him. There was one thing that I thought, this is why it's going to end. This is going to be a little tiny seed, and it's going to grow and grow and grow. And then eventually this will be the reason why. Because with everyone else that I've dated, I can call at the start of the relationship why it will end. Like
yes.
I'll call Kath and I'll go, met this new person, blah, 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 but here's my slight issue. And that's always the issue that ends up being the reason I would break up. And this thing was there and I went, oh, great, my little get out of jail free card. I'm going, there's my little insurance policy. Like, love
called
it.
Called it. I'm in control.
Yeah. And then unfortunately he brought it up by himself.
Hate it.
Almost blocked him.
Oof. brave and stunning.
Spontaneously and apologized for it. And then when I said, no, it's actually fine. It doesn't matter now. He said, no, I am sorry. You're allowed to be upset about that. So it doesn't warrant a huge on my knees apology, but it does warrant an apology. And I'm sorry, and it won't happen again. And he's, I'm going to change up behavior.
What the fuck?
And I went, you're blocked. I went, how dare you come near me? I'm going, no, I actually need to get rid of him. This is reminding me. But my therapist said I need to surf the urge wave, the diagram.
Oh, go on. Give it to me.
Well, okay. So it's an addiction thing, because I had to do that with my ex, not texting my ex, because there was a bit of an addiction cycle going on there. Not before the fucking Daily Mail, write an article about it, not substances, okay?
We're going to get into that.
I was in, you know how in relationships, toxic relationships, it becomes like an addiction cycle?
Yes.
It was like that. And because my therapist says that when I start to feel these feelings, like I should block him, the feeling feels like, because it's on the up, it feels like it's going to keep going up and up and up until I can't physically handle it anymore, and then I'm going to die because it's like, if I don't do something about this and alleviate the anxiety, then I'm going to die. So therefore I either ask for reassurance from him, which is fine, but like I shouldn't train my brain to do that, because then I need external reassurance.
Yes.
Or I will do the thing, like I will genuinely be like, well, I guess it's time to block him. And also he isn't even that good anyway. Like honestly, like me going, honestly, like, is he that hot? No.
Yeah.
Me going,
rationalizing your way out of love, basically.
Yes, 100%. And then she said, and then you jump off the wave too early and you aren't actually having the downtime. But she goes, because it's like a wave, it can't get higher than it can get. Like, you're not going to actually die, but your body thinks you are.
Yep.
So therefore, if you try and breathe and self-regulate, then your brain will be trained that you can self-regulate, so it will get less and less and less time between the panic and the result. Mm. It's like when you know you have Valium on hand.
Yes.
Like, you know you can. But it is like, you're like,
it gives you the power.
I rarely take Valium, but I'm like, I know that I can if I'm having a panic attack. Therefore, my panic attacks don't happen because I go, I have an escape button.
Safety behaviors, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she was saying.
Yeah.
And I went, what the hell is that, Chook? So yeah, that was my epiphany in therapy. And selfishly, he took away my only fear. And I'm going, well, why is this going to end then?
Yeah. Now I just have to exist in it and not like get ahead of myself and ruin it.
Well, now it could be that we hang out and he just, and it isn't, because also I know he'll never do anything mean to me or bad to me. Wah, wah. I'm going, okay, well, so what's it going to be? My personality isn't good enough? Probably.
Oh my God. I look, and the thing is, it's such self-sabotage behavior because now it is literally, we have no one to blame, and it's healing my relationship and feelings towards men.
Mm.
Is that a big thing right now for you?
Oh, it's, I wouldn't say big. I would say it's making
it's gonna
me
take more for Abby.
Yeah. Look, no, it's going to take more for me too, but I'm having these strange feelings of my anger being completely released.
Well, I'm having strange feelings of not wanting to yell on Instagram as much.
Oh my God, we're the same.
And I'm going, but what's happening to the content? I'm like, am I, but I have to yell. So I'm honestly like G-ing myself up to get angry about things. So I'm just not angry.
I feel this so deeply because people, I feel like I have nothing to say when I'm not really over like a certain decibel level of emotion.
Yeah.
And the past like 2 months when I've just been like engaging in this relationship, I'm just like not posting as much on my stories. And people are like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm actually too okay.
I'm actually happy. I'm not having a little like lever every day of my anger and bitterness towards the world.
But isn't it scary because we're laughing about this, but it's actually not funny at all, is it?
It's actually horrific, really.
It actually is horrific when I feel like as a single person that was struggling to date, I had so much capacity to work and I valued myself more because of it.
Yes, me too. And even like my friendships, I mean, this weird little like, I don't want to say love bubble because we haven't said that. So a little like bubble.
Mm. That was cute. That's a really good use of that L word.
Thank you
really
so much.
Really great word.
I hope he doesn't listen to this because he listened to the fucking last one even though I told him not to anyway.
Oh no, an attentive partner it's that so participates fucking, no, and engages in your life, Abby. That's horrendous.
And then messages me saying, I love that.
And it made me emotional. Like that's what my partner did as well. I did at Triple J, the hookup, and talked about the group date that we went on and he was like, do you want me to wait, listen to it together? And I was like, there's nothing I want less.
No, I don't know that you even observe me. Don't perceive me because I'm also like, the more you perceive me, sometimes he FaceTimes me and I go to decline it because I go, higher chance of you figuring out that you hate me.
But this is actually a really important discussion too, because the first time we met, because he'd been a follower of mine for 2 years, he'd been a paying subscriber to my media company.
Okay.
And when I met him, I thought, you're going to realize I'm a person and you're going to fall off here.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have that when there's some sort of mutual friend and you worry about like being elevated in some way and then them realizing you're not the person, because that's how I feel about myself.
Yes. I see myself as just like a piece of shit. I mean, mutton dressed as lamb, you know, Chook.
I get it, because people come up to you in the street and they're like, and you're like, if only you knew
how awful I am.
And it's so ridiculous because it's not true, but it's like fundamentally, I am different to the person that you see, and the parasocial relationship means that you're never going to get that until you deeply know me, and then I'm scared again.
Yeah, and then I'm vulnerable and I'm open,
yeah.
And then there's no end to this, and then I just see the only reason why we'd end would be because he would be like, boring.
I
and then
really
figure out,
don't think that's going to happen.
Well, look, he probably, again, even now I'm panicking, even though the last episode went fine, obviously he was fine with it, and look, there was an article.
There's always an article.
There was an article.
Just one?
No, there were many, actually.
Oh, fuck. Lem here, KPIs.
I did, actually.
Everyone, Lem's smiling. Lem's going, there were many. I'm going, great. I'm glad there were fucking many.
There were so many.
It was the perfect segue into this episode, actually.
Oh, yes.
Let's do it.
Because, yeah, there were lots of articles about me in my life because I think the Australian media froths me, not because they love me, but because they know that I represent some kind of anti-woman that people hate, and the people who read those articles want to be engaged with that kind of content. They want to hate things.
Totally. And especially, it's really Murdoch media. A lot of it is that mainstream press. And when we're talking about it, we're looking at like, especially Daily Mail articles. Mm. And I'll get my phone and read.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
So what we're going to do, everyone, because there are so many crook articles about me, and I feel like, because I've been happy, I've been ignoring them. But
so
not today,
nice.
Chook. Not today.
We're going to really get into it.
We're going to get angry today. Pretend that we're single again. Pretend that we're being, okay, imagine you're waiting for a text from someone who hasn't replied to you in 4 days. And when they text you, it will be, hey, sorry, was really busy with work. Do you want to hang out on Sunday afternoon? And they'll ghost you.
Or just
anger
pretend,
is back. Anger
pretend
is back.
That Peter Dutton is Prime Minister. And
oh.
That's it.
Oh,
sorry.
I
I actually have hot vomit in the back of my throat.
Oh, that's cruel.
Wow.
I actually think we need to take a brief pause. No, okay. You really got us there really fast.
Or let's imagine that there's a Biden Trump election happening this year again. Oh, that would be crazy.
Imagine in a dystopian universe that two men over the age of 70 who are not sure have all of their neurological capacity to lead are going to be potentially leader of the free world. One of them is.
Yeah, let's just pretend that was, that would be cuckoo. That would be cuckoo house.
Surely, I mean, how could that happen when there's so many great younger candidates?
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out this episode.
Oh, my God.
So basically what we want to do is go through Daily Mail headlines or headlines in general and just kind of dissect them in the Australian media lens and how you perceive them as an owner, as head of Cheek Media Co.
As the overlord.
Overlord.
All right. I'm going to call it a favourite. I hope you're okay with that. One of my favourites is from the Daily Mail. It was a few months ago. Abby Chatfield loses over $500,000 in less than a year due to ongoing addiction battle.
Okay. This actually made me so angry and it made me contact lawyers.
Go on.
Because the Daily Mail do so many off-centre things that are kind of like, I don't know, like Abby spills about her latest life drama. And it's like, okay, whatever. That doesn't actually affect anything if you're going to do an inflammatory article that has no substance.
Yep.
But this—
clickbait.
Yeah, it's clickbait. And it's like, okay, I guess that is technically true, so whatever. This, I think, is defamatory.
Yes.
Because also, okay, let's go through it. Because the headline itself, saying that I lost $500,000 implies that I had the $500,000 in my account.
And that I spent it. Yes.
And that I spent it frivolously. That is not true. Mm-hmm. An addiction battle implies substances.
Yes.
And it also implies that I'm in rehab or in some sort of a healing process through my addiction battle that every day is a fighting addiction.
Yeah.
And also just the fact that it said it was $500,000 isn't true.
Yeah.
It's not the correct number of how much I was getting paid at the radio station. I'm not going to say how much I got paid, but it wasn't that.
Yeah.
So every single part of that headline is incorrect. And the reality of what that was talking about was me quitting radio voluntarily because I mentioned on the podcast that I think I have a work addiction, which I'm sure you can resonate with.
Totally.
And I even said in the episode, remember we were like, Daily Mail's gonna have a field day with me saying I've got an addiction.
Mm. Yep.
I'm fine with it. But then all the comments were saying cocaine.
Yeah.
Which aren't the Daily Mail responsible? Aren't you responsible for comments on your— so I've screenshotted this and I'm genuinely considering it's defamatory. And they didn't delete them. They didn't say no, it wasn't cocaine. They didn't have anything to do with it. All the comments saying that I have a cocaine addiction, which I do not. First of all, I barely drink. I had 2 Red Bulls on Sunday at the Grand Prix and I felt sick for 3 days.
Oh my God.
I got home and I was saying to New Crush, I was like, I feel crazy. And also they had tequila in them. So I had 2 half shots of tequila and 2 half Red Bulls. So actually only 1 shot of tequila and 1 Red Bull over 5 hours. And I got home and I was going, I feel crazy. Because I never drink.
Yeah.
I rarely drink. I don't do hardcore drugs. Like, I'm not like what the fuck? Like, it's so opposite from what I am.
And how fucked that you have to explain that.
Yeah.
Yes, that I have to talk about. Of,
and it doesn't pass the pub test. You know, like they always say about the pub test. It's like, if you read that headline out to somebody who was at the pub and you go, what do you think this means? They would say that it was probably that you lost this money because you're addicted to drugs, because that's what it infers in the headline.
What does a reasonable person think when they read that headline is really the question. You know, like what does the average person think? And it's like really what we're looking at here is a media landscape, which is like 90% of the Australian media landscape has literally commodified shame and fear.
Mm.
So it's one or the other always whenever you read a headline, and it's shifting that shame and that fear to the opposite of the person who should sit with it. So for you, all these headlines are really just aiming to shame any kind of woman that represents what you're trying to kind of challenge in terms of like what patriarchy doesn't want us to be.
Uh-huh.
So you get up and you go, I'm actually struggling with this like girl boss mentality and I've chosen to do this in my life. And they go, we don't want women talking about that. Yeah. How do we reframe the narrative? How do we publish something that gets clicks? Mm-hmm. And how do we publish something that is misleading and gets people in the comments to continue to shame you out of the behavior you're engaging with, which they don't want?
Because it all comes down to engagement. Yeah. And just, yeah.
So what happens is you go through the comments and people think the answer without having to click through is cocaine. Realistically, because how many people actually click through and read to the bottom of those ads?
Also, the caption just said, the caption on the Instagram was like, we're praying for her, broken love heart.
Fucked up.
Or it was like, it was something like that. It was like, I hope she's okay, broken love heart. And it's like, I just was being too successful.
Yeah.
I actively chose to get rid of a huge job that I was disliking every single moment of. How dare I? It also feeds off addiction stigma.
Yeah.
Which also upset me as someone who's dated people with addiction and knows people that struggle with addiction of all different kinds of things, gambling, drugs, cocaine, alcohol, God, sex and love addiction even. Like, they're feeding off the fact that people want a girl boss to not be winning. That's the worst thing that can happen. And also it's a trope that women who get successful then become addicted to substances, and it's always...
But it's by omission. Like, the $500,000 is a blatant lie.
It's a blatant lie.
But when you look at the way they use the language, it's literally trying to manipulate every single word to shift blame, shift burden, shift shame to you to ensure that you are activated, reshare it, push it out to your followers to say this isn't true, which what drives further engagement for them, even though you have every right to respond.
Yeah, that's why I didn't post about it.
True. Exactly.
That's why I didn't, because it's like the Barbara Streisand effect.
Yes.
Have you heard about this?
Yes.
No, actually.
So Barbara Streisand's house on Google Maps, and she wanted it taken down or blurred out or something. And in order to do that, she then did a legal case or something against Google, and then that actually made everyone realize that it was her house.
Oh.
But to start with, no one knew that it was her house, so she just fucked herself by telling everyone, this is my house and where I live, in an effort to try and get it off Google Maps.
But we can think about so many defamation cases that way. Think about people like Bruce Lohman suing for defamation, all of these channels that published interviews with Brittany Higgins. Like, we don't want to speculate on those, but the way that a defamation case actually brings so much publicity to the subject means that you also feel in danger if you pursue legal action.
Yeah.
Because you have to actually go out every day and raise the issue.
Yeah.
And you have to keep talking about it, having republished and resurfaced the claim, right?
Yes.
Even though you're completely in the right, in order to pursue recourse and justice and a fair outcome, you have to put yourself on the line again.
Yeah, and then also defamation in this country is also very specific. So if it turned out that I didn't win a defamation case because of a technicality, like, there are the three elements, aren't there? There's it's untrue.
Identifiable.
Identifiable, and you have lost money from it.
Yes.
Like, you have to prove that you've lost money from it.
Yeah, it's like reputational damage. Yeah.
Yeah. So I couldn't prove that that article lost me a job, but the way that this industry works is so word of mouthy. It should be something as simple as execs sitting around going, who can get to host this show? And someone goes, Abby Chatfield, and they go, oh, I think she's going through addiction.
Yeah.
And there's
no evidence.
There's no
documentary evidence.
If they're going through, if they're doing initial pitches for TV shows and someone in the room has seen that, and it's just like in their brain, they don't know where from, they're not doing anything maliciously. They just go, oh, I think she's going through something and I've lost a job because of that. I can't prove that that's happened.
But you'll never know it.
I'll never know. I can't prove that I would have gotten that job. I can't prove what the job was. I'll never be aware. So if I took this to court, which I really am considering. I've got so many things saved in a folder that are like cooked things that the Daily Mail have done, because it's so relentless and it's so exhausting. And this was the fucking icing on the cake. But if I took it to court and I lost, then it would be Abby Chatfield lose a defamation case saying that she had an addiction battle. And then it's quote unquote proving that I had an addiction battle.
Yeah.
People don't understand defamation law. So it's like, the layperson doesn't understand the intricacies of a defamation suit.
Yeah, but what's interesting about the language then, if you look at the headline alone, you go, it's misleading, but they would argue it's not untrue because you use the word addiction. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like the way they're framing it is constantly towing this really fine line of what's misleading their audience and getting clicks, commodifying shame, commodifying hatred, and consistently polarizing the community. So all they feel is either love or hate for a person.
Yeah.
Neutral ground, not acceptable in the Australian media.
Absolutely not. I mean, have you heard about approval ratings and how...
Yes.
So there are these things that do like polls. Can you explain it better than me?
Yeah, basically, like, say they'll send out a public poll to 100 people that listen to your podcast. Mm. And you can either vote that you like approve of Abby, you do not approve of Abby, or you feel neutral towards her. They never want neutral votes. What you would want is to have 99 people hate you rather than 50 people feel neutral towards you, basically. Mm-hmm. Because what they want for people like Kyle Sanderlands, if you wonder why they're still on air and succeeding, even though they're shock jocks and they have a lot of disapproval, it's because they actually evoke a passionate emotion in everyone. Mm-hmm. That's what we're really looking for in Australian media commentators. I think that you and I sit in that category of having a lot of people hate us and a lot of people love us. But then again, I'm not sure if you feel this. The worst thing someone could say about me is just that I'm nice or right.
Boring.
No one says that about us. No one says that.
I think my approval rating, from what I've heard, people froth over it because it's like 50-50 hate and love.
Yeah.
Or it's like 60% hate, 40% people are like, would die for her. Everyone else is like, would kill her. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Hannah, I'm going to play the devil's advocate and be with the right-wing media here as a queer person of color, which is so fucking random.
Classic Lem. Lem's actually secretly right-wing. She loved... Who was that presidential candidate that we were ranting about?
His name starts with V. Vivek.
Oh, yeah. Okay, don't pretend you don't know. Lem's got a tattoo on her arm going, it's my King Vivek.
I'm wiping his semen off me. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, wow.
I'll cut that.
Oh, you've got to keep it. You've got to keep it.
No, the warm vomit in the back of the mouth.
Now that we do have this environment of like shame and fear that's sparking everything, that's bringing in the clicks, then neutrality really pales in comparison. So how are people meant to get the news across if people are so now conditioned to reading these things? So where is that, like, how can you be more neutral and sell news?
Yeah, totally. I was doing a panel recently where they were basically like, is it our fault that the media landscape's this way because no one engages with like hard news, like those longer piece topics now? But realistically, anything in Australia that's quality journalism, you have to pay for.
Yeah.
Like, think about how inaccessible it is to young people to read quality journalism because it's behind a paywall, because independent good shit isn't available to us.
Yeah.
We're getting it through Instagram and TikTok, which is being threatened as being taken away by Meta potentially in the next, you know, coming months. But when you think about Meta's currently in negotiations with the government and media companies where they say they don't want to pay for news on their platform, and potentially under Australian law, that means Meta will not be able to operate news content on its platforms in our country, which means I could get blocked in the next few weeks on Instagram, basically. So there's really the potential for news to be wiped from socials. So where are you going to get your news from?
News.
Which really means that like influencers...
Well, the project will be going... We might have another year.
Are we going to be relevant?
Sorry,
once
love
more?
You, Channel 10.
I think that's funny, though.
I mean, I do work for Channel 10. I love you guys so much. I do love the project. I love you so much. That was just a bit. It was a bit, okay? We all know
really
ratings
funny.
Aren't great for any TV show right now, okay?
It's very funny.
Let's be realistic.
But think about, and I want to bring it back to this, think about when you were trying to talk on the podcast about the campaign of genocide that's happening against Palestinian people right now.
Yeah.
And people constantly were trying to fight with anything that you put out.
Yeah.
Because that, and you were trying to have a nuanced conversation that was acknowledging what's occurring and the facts that you had at the time.
Yeah.
And people are so used to inflammatory polarization and culture wars and division.
Yes.
They're unable to critically think or engage in like basic media literacy where you sit with something, read it and go, huh, I'm going to look at that elsewhere, because there isn't elsewhere.
Yeah. I actually want to talk about media literacy with you because I think it's a huge thing that, oh God, I sound like a fucking boomer, but young people genuinely are missing because how old are you?
25.
Yeah, I'm 28. So 28 and a half, 29 in a few months. But so I feel like I was the last, when I was in grade 12, I think Instagram was just sort of starting.
Yeah.
So I was the last group of people, and you probably were just in it as well, that didn't have our main news source, information source being social media that can be unverified.
Yeah.
So it was heaps of focus on how to check resources, how to have proper media literacy, how to read articles and understand biases.
Yep.
All of this, I feel like, has gone out the door. And no matter how much schools try to teach it, I don't think it's possible for kids these days to fully absorb it. And also it's happening to boomers as well, where they don't have media literacy either because they grew up with newspapers where everything was verified. They had books, newspapers, where everything had to be completely factual. And on the other end of the spectrum,
Yeah, they were much like more rigorous.
I don't think it wasn't.
Yeah. I feel.
Pre-Murdoch, are we talking?
But even books, I mean, like even our parents grew up in school, if they were researching a topic, they would get a book from the library that had been published, and publishing meant so much more because it was publishing houses and it wasn't like you could self-publish as easy. And then I am grateful that I was in this weird in-between where I had access to all these different kinds of media and understood how to dissect it. Then the kids, they're just getting an influx of information at all times and not being able to verify it, and their brains cannot comprehend it.
But it also means that I think my parents and grandparents don't really know how to actually engage with information on social media either.
Exactly.
Think about during the referendum last year, everyone on Instagram thought it was going to be a yes, and everyone on Facebook thought it was going to be a no. And the way that information was siloed and the way those echo chambers existed meant that depending on what social platform you used, you believed you were either with the majority either way.
Yeah.
And also think about how many times recently you've had a friend say, I was reading an article the other day and they were referring to a TikTok video.
I mean, me.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
I'm just honest now. I go, listen, this is from a TikTok.
Yeah.
But it's everything from politics, news, through to psychology, celebrity gossip. And now with AI, I'm going, I don't know what the fuck is real and what's not.
Totally. But think about like the way that they sort of project information to women about like anti-aging. Like how many things recently have you seen about like high cortisol on your TikTok?
Babe.
And then you Google it and you read an ABC article or The Guardian and you get a completely different piece of information that you know has been verified.
Yeah.
And you think the last 50 videos told me I was the ugliest scum of the earth because I don't sleep on one side of my face on a pillow. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, although I have been told by my injector that I do sleep on my right side, and I went, okay, wizard man, you're right. Okay. And my makeup artist tells me my hair is flatter on one side because I sleep on one side, but who cares?
I know, but this is the thing, this constant messaging, no matter if it's, even if it's about like whether it's verified, the constant messaging you receive through the algorithm is teaching you how you feel about yourself.
Yes.
And it's informing you, but you're not pursuing other information sources to fact check any of it.
No, and then because you're doom scrolling or you're engaged in that content and the algorithm just snowballs and gets more and more intense and intense and intense until you're in this weird little world that you can't get out of, and it becomes your reality because our brains cannot compute a world beyond what we see.
Absolutely. And think about even like, I'm not sure if yours drastically changed. 2 months before you were in a healthy relationship, I was getting fed the masculine, the feminine.
Oh, we had a whole episode
about it.
I know.
About
and
it.
I listened to it because I cannot stand it. The second I was in a healthy relationship, my algorithm transformed. I'm now getting recipe videos. I'm at peace again. The way that my algorithm knows whether I'm prepared for an unhealthy headspace and to be given the worst dating advice of my life by women who believe that women should never learn to read or speak again.
But I also think those people know that the algorithms are going to feed it to people who are vulnerable, and therefore they know that they will be engaged in the content. It's like the tarot card readers going, this is for you, this is for you, energy, no hashtags. I'm going, no hashtags because it's an algorithm.
Yes, but that's exactly what the Daily Mail is doing in a different way.
Yes, with my addiction battle.
Exactly.
But that headline pissed me the fuck off. Like, and then the week after there was another headline about...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can get more up.
Again, Barbara Streisand effect. Yeah. I don't know if I should even bring this up, but there was another headline about a fling with someone. And it really upsets me. It's so unfair that I'm constantly surveilled and every single thing that I say and do is taken in the worst way possible. Every single thing. And then I knew that like articles about who I sleep with, that never puts a blemish on the man's reputation. And not even like a slut-shaming way, although that is playing into it. It's also like, I know that men in Australian media, and because it's fed to right-wing people, they're upheld as like silly larrikins. Yeah. And if they're around me, they're like, oh, why would he be around her? Because I'm also silly and fun, but I'm woman. So you're seeing me as being like crude and blunt and disgusting, but I'm doing the exact same thing as these men are doing. And they're being seen as like crazy and silly. If I rocked up to a like Casta Fanovic being drunk after the Logies, and also Tony Armstrong being hungover after the Logies 2 years ago, like, that was a funny. I'm like, this is so slay. Like, this is what Logies is, and this is very funny, and it's very Australiana. Imagine if Lisa Wilkinson had done that. Mm. She would have been fired on the spot. There would have been protests outside fucking Channel 9. If I did that, it would be disgusting. There would be letters to listen. It would be like I was the most disgusting party girl. It would be like, this is who I am as a person. It's almost like the Australian media makes women and other marginalized people, they're single action taken in the worst way is then who they are as a person entirely.
Yeah.
Like there were articles about the F1 and about there were a few comments.
You going to the F1.
Me going to the F1.
You're breaking down in tears as well today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good to know.
Good to know. Seem always crying. But going to the F1 and my friend Eloise and I were pissing ourselves because we were like, this is so funny. But they made out like we were Abby and her friend's crass behavior at the F1. First of all, okay, few things. It's the F1. We're not going to the royal wedding.
Yeah.
Let's be fucking honest. Let's be honest. People going, it's inappropriate behavior, F1. I'm going, what the fuck? It's the F1. It's like, what? I also didn't go. I went to support someone. I didn't go voluntarily. Obviously, I was there voluntarily. But like, I wasn't like, this is my event. I'm so excited to go.
Yeah.
No one's going to get hurt by it. And the crass behavior was me dancing for 2 seconds with someone on my Instagram and then my other friend and I wearing mini skirts. And it was like acting like we were the Paris and Nicole of Australia. It's like, sorry that we have fun. And look, we were dancing around. It's like, and there was like, there was reports of us dancing around because we were doing step ball changes.
Yeah.
Because we were excited to see our friends play.
Friends?
Our friends play. Do a gig, but like, yeah, it just becomes the most inflammatory version of what it is. And I feel like there's no room to make, not even mistakes, to just like be human and silly without it being surveilled and commentated on in the most negative way.
Because the purpose of those headlines, as we said, is to ensure that you feel ashamed every time you continue to do exactly what you want to do, which is behave exactly as the men around you.
Yeah.
Which is engage in whatever fun you want that is harmless.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, most of the men that are engaging in that behavior are people who might be rugby league stars who are committing acts of domestic violence, but they will never receive the same criticism.
Never. It'll be one article about their court date.
And
but there's rumors that I sleep with someone, that I've consensual sex with someone that like has not even been an issue. I'm not dating, except with them one time. And it's articles and headlines and then all the comments are, she's so disgusting. Why would he be with her? Why would he? This is a lie because no one would ever touch someone as disgusting as her. And the reason they think that I'm so disgusting is because of all of the other headlines. I don't give a fuck what fucking Mary Lou from Wodonga says, but my brain can only absorb so much shit said about me. And it makes me operate from a place of fear in every fucking aspect of my life. Like even with, you know, the episode last week about the person I'm dating, I was like, what DMs is he going to get saying awful things about me from people who hate me? Because I'll see that we are seeing each other. And he may think differently of me because they will send him things and tell him things that he doesn't, that won't have context.
But that's what they want you to feel. They want you to feel so much fear that you stop engaging and stop doing what you're doing. And every time you have those thoughts, they win in a certain way.
Yeah.
But what the ultimate pipeline of this is it goes from a Daily Mail headline every day for a year and it goes through our household and it ends up being this weekend, you know, at family lunch, one 22-year-old woman says something about you in front of her family and there's a noise. There's a groan from someone older and conservative who's only seen the addiction battle headlines who then...
And crass behavior at
exactly,
the F1.
And when that, you know, when my grandfather or my auntie or someone in my life groans at the, you know, my 18-year-old sister and makes a comment based on only the headlines of you that they know, what does it communicate to that girl? That to be like that is bad, to challenge patriarchy, to challenge what it means to be a woman in 2024. And it instills that same shame back onto them.
So it's interesting because the perspective of the 18-year-old girl, say my name, she isn't able to, like, in a conversation, your brain isn't going, oh, well, they've only seen the Daily Mail articles about Abby. She's thinking they're coming at it from the same amount of information as she is.
Yes.
And vice versa. So they think it's some big disagreement when actually if they spoke about, well, why don't you like her? They would be, oh, well, she's a fucking addict.
Yeah.
Okay, well, have you read the article?
But no one, and it's challenging because we're activated and it's so nerve-wracking to be in these situations with older members of our family who we love and respect. And to have someone you love and respect say something like that to you, which you disagree with, but not knowing how to communicate about it is terrifying.
Yeah.
But that's like what we're here to do, is to say like, you can be like this and tell me what's wrong with that.
Yeah.
Tell me what's wrong with being comfortable in my body. Yeah. Tell me what's wrong with a woman having sex and enjoying it.
I also think it's funny because I don't think that I'm that extreme in any of these ways. I just can't shut up. It's like...
But what's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. I'm such a chatty woman.
Why aren't we allowed to yap?
Yeah, yappity yap yap yap. You know what I mean?
But this is a thing.
And also, why aren't I... It's also like these... When there's headlines, it's like about like me sleeping with someone. Sorry... Like, why is it Abby Chatfield does this? Like, it was done to this poor. It's even the language down to that minute detail of, like, the way the sentence is structured is always like, I did something to someone else.
Yes.
Like,
they're a victim of being your friend.
Of being around me. It's
Because the constant narrative is, you're evil.
Yeah.
You're the villain. You are the problem, and you are the thing society needs to go to regress and conserve, sort of thing. Like, you are the thing that we cannot become, even though you are the thing that represents progress and left leaning and liberation for women and empowerment.
And I also think what women are actually like when I say that I'm not that different, it's that I'm the same as all of my girlfriends. Like, I am the same, like...
You're the lightning rod for sexism in Australia. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
Do you actually realize that? You are the lightning rod for misogynists to rally around and to try and silence women. You represent progress. You represent women's rights. You represent a future where girls and women think, I can show up as I feel and as I want to, and that's okay.
Oh, that's
and
lovely.
They will do everything to make sure you are quiet and you are ashamed of yourself. And that's why every time you have that thought about the Daily Mail, they win in some small way.
A Listener Production.